Samara. One day I hope you'll appreciate how long and hard a parent thinks about what they're going to say to a child at an important moment in both of their lives. And so I did what I always do when I'm not sure exactly what to say. I asked your mother. And she said to me that the one thing she wanted to say to you was that when she looks at you, when she looks into your eyes, she sees all the ages you've ever been, and maybe all the ages you will ever be. And armed with that insight, thinking about that, I looked through your Torah portion, and I found there the phrase that leapt up at me when I read it. I know in school you're studying Latin roots, so here's a good Latin word, or two, actually. It's called a hapex legomena. It means a word that occurs only once in an author's work or in the Bible. And there is, in your Torah portion, a word that's not quite singular. It appears twice in the Torah, but both times it's in the same verse, and it's in your portion. It's a phrase, Leil Shimurim, a night of watching. The first time, it refers to God's watching Israel, and the second time, it refers to Israel's watching. And so I thought, since it was about all the ages you've been, I thought about our nights of watching. In the Torah, it's about the night before Israel goes out into the journey in Egypt, the night before redemption, but we had different nights of watching. The first night, of course, was one of the coldest nights in decades in New Jersey, when I drove your mom to Ridgewood County Hospital for our first night of watching, and there I made a mistake. And since there may be some fathers in the congregation who will one day be in the same position, I'd like to give them a piece of advice, which is don't bring a book. I thought it was going to take a long, and in fact it did, it took a long time. In my own defense, I didn't get that much reading done. I really didn't. But some people haven't forgotten. But in due time, at 5:25 the next morning, on January 17th, you were born. And we brought you home, and a wise woman told us that your first job with a child was to teach them the difference between night and day. We failed. But occasionally, by mistake, you would fall asleep at night. And when you did, your mom and I would watch you. Just watch you. Babies don't really do very much, but a yawn, a stretch, or even just to see you there, your first laugh, we just watched you. And then when we brought you out here, and you scared us more than once by developing pneumonia, I remember in particular the time when it was worse, we brought you to the doctor, and the doctor said that we had to put you in the hospital. We had no choice, and that we couldn't stay with you. And frantically, your mother called your pediatrician, who is here this morning, Dr. Schreiber. And she said to her, I can't do it. I can't be separated from her. And Dr. Schreiber said, you know, in almost any other case, I would tell you, you have to put the child in the hospital. But then what she said to your mother was exactly in these words, but I know this child will not draw an unwatched breath. And she was right. We stayed up all night watching every breath you took until the morning came. Because, you see, that's what parents do. They advise, they teach, they counsel, they disappoint, they dream, they embarrass their kids with bad jokes. But mostly we watch. Mostly we just watch. As you grow from a little girl who says, "Tell me a story," always tell me a story, to a young woman who is a gifted storyteller and writer. From those first moments to the moments when you stand on your own and you turn from a student to a teacher, we just watch. We watch as you walk towards us, and sometimes we watch as you walk away from us. And one thing that I learned this year is that parents never, ever, ever stop watching. When they're here and when they're not here, they watch forever. That's just what we do. What you talked about today was the plague of darkness. And you spoke about the fact that the Egyptians couldn't see each other in the darkness. And I contrast that in my mind with Leil Shimurim, that the Israelites were precisely supposed to see each other in dark times. And that's because they had the gifts of faith and of love. I didn't know, obviously, when you were born, that this would be your Torah portion on your bat mitzvah, when we named you Samara, which means watched or guarded by God, Shamarya. But that's what it means, and that's what you are. There's also a line in your Haftarah, a beautiful and touching line, that summarizes all of this and tells you exactly what it is that I think your mother and I and so many others who love you want you to know today. The prophet Jeremiah, in Israel's worst, most desperate, most crushed time, says to Israel, "Al tira ki itcha ani," don't be afraid, for I am with you. That's, I think, more than anything else, what we want you to know. After a bat mitzvah, there's a little bit of a letdown. Look at all these people. There are 1,700 people here, all of them sitting here watching you. Don't be nervous. But when they're gone, when the room is empty, when you're alone in your room or out in the world in the years to come, you won't be alone. Ki itcha ani. God is with you always, and so are the people you love. Always, every day, every night. In times of difficulty and tragedy and pain, which everyone has in their lives, and in times of joy and celebration and wonder, of which we pray you may have many. The key, of course, that you know, and that I would say you've taught me more than I've taught you, and your mother's taught us both, is to be able to love and to be loved. You are loved, and you certainly know how to love. Al tira, don't be afraid. Have courage that, in fact, although there may be darkness, you will see through it. You are guarded, you are treasured, you are cherished, and you're loved. That's our blessing to you, my child. May you carry it with you all the days and nights of your life. May they be many, and may they be blessed.